93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamolo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The away day blues have finally been eradicated, and we were wondering where that third victory on the road in the league would come. And it was Bolton where Pompey achieved it.
Lovely delivery, header, it's cleared half away, and Christian Burgess is on hand to put it into the back of the net.
Christian Burgess's quick reaction strike was the difference at the weekend as the Blues left Horwich with all 3 points. On tonight's show, we'll be delving a little deeper into that game, and manager Kenny Jackett also shares his thoughts from the win. We'll be hearing from a gaffer very shortly. But he's not the only one we want to hear from this evening. Don't forget, this is the perfect platform for you back home to air your opinions and questions. Have Pompey finally put their away day woes behind them? How do you rate the Blues' chances of retaining the EFL trophy this season? And would you like to see Jack Watmore return to the starting 11 for tomorrow's quarter-final tie? Get involved between now and 7 o'clock, all the usual ways. Text Express and your message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM is what to include within your tweets. Be sure to attach a score prediction for tomorrow's trophy match at home to Scunthorpe as well. It's Blue Monday, and we're here to help you through the next 60 minutes or so. Stay tuned now for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the Monday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Driven to you tonight by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app today to find their latest offers and also your nearest stop. Just search for Stagecoach on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. Coming up on the show tonight, I'll be bringing my two studio guests into the conversation to discuss the weekend's victory away to Bolton Wanderers, and we'll also be looking ahead to tomorrow night's EFL Trophy quarter-final tie at home to Scunthorpe United and going over all the latest news surrounding Portsmouth Football Club. But before we dive into any of that, let's kickstart the show this evening by rewinding back to Saturday, 3 p.m, as the Blues face troubled Bolton in match day 25 of this League One season. Kenny Jackett's side were looking for only their third win on the road this league this campaign. And commentary of that challenge at the University of Bolton Stadium comes via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Cold, clear skies... Lovely morning in the north, but a chilly day for watching football as the handshakes take place between the two sides. If they can sort their form out on the road in League One, then the ambition of an automatic promotion place becomes very realistic. Bolton knocking around at the back, sent towards their goalkeeper Matthews. John Marcus is going to give chase, sent long over halfway. All that noise is coming from the four blocks of Portsmouth fans away to our right. As Bolton try and drive forward, Darcy going out to the left-hand side. Chance for a cross into the penalty area. Bolton defends for Pompey, but he can only put it behind for a corner kick on the far side, the left. So an opening set piece for Bolton. Bolton has come into the penalty area. Oh, suddenly the Pompey defence opens up. Shot on goal, wide of the target. It's missed. Just Raggett just slipped for a moment there. Oh, and Raggett's taken. Dodu down. He's in trouble. It's a yellow card. It's a yellow card. Christian Burgess is just covering enough to save Sean Raggett. A red card as Dodu drove towards the penalty area. An error from the Pompey centre-back, and he just about gets away with it. Seddon to deliver a free kick in from the right-hand side. Midway inside the bottom half. In it comes. Lovely delivery. Header. It's cleared half away, and Christian Burgess is on hand to put it into the back of the net. And Christian Burgess has his first Pompey goal of the season. It was Raggett's header. Matthews couldn't hold it,
and there was Burgess. Finally a centre-half on the score sheet for Portsmouth. It's Bolton 0, Portsmouth 1. Hamilton, sit moving. Darcy, he's got Curtis for company. Good run from Darcy, round the outside of Seddon. Good cross, header, and it's somehow... Well, how have they not scored? How has O'Grady not scored from a yard out? He stuck his foot at the ball, it's gone straight up in the air. And Pompey have dodged an almighty bullet. The first half was physical. The second half, there's been real energy and pace about it. Naylor has his pocket picked and Bolton are off on the counter-attack. And it's 4-3 if they play this correctly. O'Grady to the left, Doney to the right. Oh, the terrible pass from Bolton. And a great opportunity has gone begging. And Pompey dodge a bullet there. It's still 1-0. Bolton will come forward once more. Murphy. And now Dodu. Nice shot on goal. Great save, Bass. Tipped round the post. A lovely 1-2 that ended with Dennis Politic striking it low and hard towards the goal. And Bass has tipped it round the post. Bass has got the ball in his hands. His drop kick long is the final action of the game here at the University of Bolton Stadium. Portsmouth have won on the road in League One. They had to dig deep. And in what, all in all, was quite an enthralling second half, they've come out on top. It's finished Bolton Wanderers 0, Portsmouth 1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 1-0 win at Bolton on Saturday. After the game, Andy caught up with the manager, Kenny Jackett, on the touchline to gather his thoughts.
Kenny, a hard-fought victory. What's your verdict on that?
Yeah, it's a great win and hard game. I thought the first half was pretty even. I thought we looked probably stronger. Great to see us getting our noses in front with a set piece, because we had a lot of them in the first half. Wasted a few good corner opportunities, had a lot of wide free kicks. But in the end, Seddon's delivery and... For Sean Raggett, he's got the first touch, and great to see Christian following up. My centre backs haven't, you know, either, let's say, contributed or scored enough goals in the other box at set pieces. And as we know, if you want successful seasons, you need one or maybe even two, getting somewhere between 5 and 10 goals, which can help you. We went probably the first third of the season without that. Good to see now for Christian anyway. There's a little bit coming, if you like. If you're going back to Fleetwood, where we got a couple of goals from corners and they've helped us to wins, one in the FA Cup, and today obviously it's got our noses in front. Second half, I thought they were right on top of us at the start of it. The changes helped in terms of protecting our midfield a little bit. I thought Andy Cannon's played very well and made a difference, and I was then looking for us to, as it went end to end, get that second goal on the break with being 1-0 up away from home. It didn't come, but you know, congratulations to the players, because they defended well, they fought for each other, they showed fantastic spirit and got over the line, which is a credit to them. Also, you know, to our fans for coming all this way and supporting us like they did today. They really contributed, and from all of us there, we much appreciate their efforts.
Was Sean Raggett in danger of getting a red rather than a yellow with that first
half? Yeah, it was touch and go. Was Bolton sort of going to make it? Did, you know, would the keeper have come out? You know, they're the decisions that the referee has to make these days. It's not an automatic red, that situation. If there is a covering man or the ball's running away, then it's quite close. And obviously then the referee deemed that was a close one.
Christian Burgess' finish was more of a striker, the way following in and tapping in from close range than a traditional centre-half goal.
Yeah, and good to see, you know, in a key game, they played a big part, our centre-backs, and in the clean sheet. You know, centre-backs, goalkeepers, you always need Tom Naylor in front as the game wore on. Got, you know, quite a few sort of vital interceptions and key headers like he does, but then coming up with a combination of the winner is great for them and should be encouraged by it. A little bit of a breakthrough in terms of the set-piece goals as well. You know, Fleetwood now and then this one, and they've been key ones as well. I have said, you know, probably earlier in the season where, you know, my centre-backs haven't scored from set-pieces, and again, particularly in the first half, we had a lot of set-pieces. I'm pleased to say we made them count.
How much does the team need this away from home, given I know they've won cup games, to win a League One game away?
Yeah, I mean, you're always looking to win and keep the pressure on and chasing. And there's many different types of games, you know, from, let's say, a game Wimbledon at home last week where, you know, we were on top and we're looking to break them down in the first period to as you say, you know, a difficult one today where, let's be fair, we didn't, you know, second half it was... it was one-way traffic and you know, not much was given our way. And so that made it really important that, one, we had to battle at the back and play with good spirit, which we did. But two, then I was always looking, and particularly once we made the substitutions, that we could get into the right areas to be able to score the second.
What was the thinking behind Gareth Evans and Brett Pittman not quite making the matchday squad today?
Yeah, just, you know, selection of numbers. You're looking at the amount of games that we've got coming up, and obviously in three competitions, you know, I've got good choices now, and nothing that you know, for Gareth anyway, he's played against Gillingham, but I've opted then to go to Cannons probably since then, and at times Marcus and Payer second forward. So Gareth's unlucky. So is Brett in terms of, you know, the amount of forwards that we've got now, and good forwards. I do feel should I need either of them, I know that both of them will be there professionally, definitely.
Is there any chance either could leave in January, or is this still important squad people?
Yeah, I don't you know, really want people to go at the moment, to be honest with you, because while we look quite strong now and we've got a few back from injury, you know, they can be famous last words for a manager, particularly, you know, if you're looking, you know, we play in the leasing.com Tuesday, we've got a big FA Cup game next Saturday, but then after that, you know, it's back to the league, and we're linking away on the Tuesday. So, you know, it's the few months that are coming up are like that, and you know, while it can look sort of strong at one particular time, you only need to lose a couple and then it can change. So, you know, in terms of numbers, it's not necessarily something that I would invite, but similarly, if there's you know, an inquiry or a bid or whatever, you know, we always deal with it on its merits and look wholly. But you know, we're not in a situation where, you know, we've got February, March and April, maybe May, and you know, we want to be as strong as we can through those months, really.
The thoughts there of the manager Kenny Jackett following the weekend's win at Bolton. Joining me in the studio this evening to go through that game, first of all, a warm welcome back to John Hooper. John, welcome back.
Have me.
John, welcome back. I'm going to turn your mic up now.
Okay. Cheers, Jake. Thanks for having me back.
And also to Ryan Honey. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me back, Jake.
No worries. Let's talk about Saturday's game then, lads. Ryan, it was a 1-0 win for Pompey, just their third win away from home in the league this season. Quite some stat considering now, what towards the end of January now, and it was only our third win on the road. But nonetheless, good to see that kind of statistic has really diminished now in the last kind of month or so.
Well, it was much needed. Yeah, it's pushed us basically in the playoffs now, playoff picture. And like you say, three wins on the road in the league, not the best considering last season's away form. The way you look at it, I mean, it had to come at some stage. And Bolton being bottom of the league, they're troubled, but they put in a real shift, Bolton, and probably didn't deserve the scoreline. From what I've heard and from the highlights, they absolutely battered us in that second half. But what's most important is we came away with a win, and to do that away from home is always a good sign.
Yeah, it wasn't the most convincing of performances, John, was it? But
no.
At the end of the day, this is a Pompey side now who, in recent matches, you look at Walsall in the EFL Trophy, you know, previous round, Fleetwood away in the FA Cup, all nervy matches away from home, but we've got over the line and we've seen them out, which at the start of the season, you wouldn't have felt comfortable at all.
Now, that's the thing at the moment. We're winning, whether or not we deserve to, we're still winning games, and winning means confidence, confidence winning. So if we keep on going the way we are, I think it's two losses in the last 19, it's very good form.
Yeah.
And if we could slowly get back the way from back from last season and keep the home form going, I think the only way is up for us now.
Yeah. And it's the right time to be hitting that kind of form, isn't it, Ryan? You know, we mentioned at the start of the season how, you know, okay, we were doing poorly, we were in 18th, 19th place, and we look back to last season where we started the campaign, 11, 12 games unbeaten, top of the table at Christmas, and then it all suddenly went wrong. If you want to be hitting form, and if you want to be winning games, if you want to start, you know, learning from those mistakes, this is the time to do it. This is the time to really creep up and surprise everyone above you.
I mean, second half of the season, yeah, like you say, is absolutely crucial to form. It applies to any team as well. Any team around us, put a run of games together, last 10, 15 games of the season, they'll be up there come the end of the season. So with us, it's no different. Form is everything in this league, as it is in the Championship and the Premier League.
Something I noticed on Saturday, John, was the link-up play, really nice, intricate football at times between Ronan Curtis, Ellis Harris and John Marquis as well. Playing those three in the same team, it's been something of a, you know, it's not been too welcomed by Pompey fans, John Marquis playing in that number 10 role. But at times they have shown glimpses of being able to work together as a forward three. And on Saturday was a perfect example of that.
Well, they have definitely, and it's when you have such good players in the squad, it's always going to be a headache for the manager to try and get it right. But slowly, with Marcus now scoring in three of the last four, Curtis having, I think, 19 goals this season, Harrison firing, Harness, we're starting to get a very, very good attack inside this season like we did last year. And now, if you keep it going, I think, I say the only way is up, and I think now at the moment, team will fear us.
Yeah. And Ronan Curtis, a man who still is on form, Ryan, and a player who's in the last week or so has been, and I'll say this with inverted quote marks, linked to Blackburn Rovers. It's not happening. Well, I can't see it happening. No. Apparently, Pompey have valued him at $3 million. Mm-hmm. But judging by Marie Curtis's tweets on Twitter, Ronan's mother, he's not off anywhere, and I think we can all agree that that is the case. And but, you know, considering the links are and reports are supposedly there, a player we don't want to lose this month, and I'm sure we will keep hold of him, but if he were to go, that'd be a massive dent in Pompey's promotion bid.
Yeah, I think he's vital to our season, really. I mean, he's our top goal scorer. I think he's got 11 goals. Mm. If we were to lose him, I think it'd be a mistake. It would put a real dent in our promotion push. And obviously only, well, less than two weeks now to replace him. So if he was to go, I think, yeah, it would be massive.
And a player who did sign for, I'm going to say this now, if he does go by next Friday, then I'll eat my hand off. It's not happening. So before anyone tries to insinuate, yeah, we're not trying to create anything. He's not going anywhere. A player who did sign for Pompey in the last kind of week or so, John Cameron McGeehan, a player who plays in a central defensive midfield role, can fit in the number 10 as well at times, but in the games that he's played so far, and indeed on Saturday as well, further proving that he is a solid unit alongside Tom Naylor, and that's what really perhaps Naylor's missed.
Yeah, he's missed a competitive part next to him. With Close, when he's there, he's very, very good at the passing and moving forward. But defensively, I don't think he's there, because I'm not sure if he's as physical as he needs to be. Whereas McGeehan has physicality about him. He saw last season at Barnsley, he was very, very good. And Luton and Leeds, when we played him then, until that injury, which was sad to see, he was a very good player. And now we've got someone else to help Naylor defensively. And now we've someone behind in front, someone like Cannon and Marquis, is really helping us out.
Yeah. Okay, it's time for us to head for a quick break here now on Express FM, but we'll be back in just a few moments' time to go over your thoughts from back home. Do you believe the Blues have finally put their poor form on the road behind them? Can you see Pompey lifting the EFL trophy again this season? Do you want to see it, or do you feel the competition is a distraction on the main aim of the campaign? And would you like to see Jack Watmore return to the starting 11 for tomorrow's quarterfinal tie at home to Scunthorpe? 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. Get those into us over the next 40 minutes or so, and join us again very shortly for the continuation of the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Monday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM, proudly sponsored by Stagecoach across the South. You can find out more information on all the latest fares, timetables, routes and more by heading over to their website, stagecoach.co.uk. Don't forget, we want to hear the thoughts of you back home. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or include at expressfm within your tweets. We're also looking for your score predictions ahead of tomorrow night's EFL trophy tie at home to Scunthorpe United. Let's go back to Saturday, though. Pompey 1-0 winners at the University of Bolton Stadium. Ryan, 10 years since the Blues made the trip up to where it was previously known and commonly known as the Reebok Stadium in the Premier League, a 2-2 draw, 2-0 down at half-time. Aruna Dindan was the man who came back to bring the game back with a point to Fratton Park. And how things have changed in the past decade or so for both sides. At the time, you know, both sides in the Premier League with star names, Pompey, of course, Aruna Dindan, the likes of... You look at that team, and you look at the team that even went down to the Championship. We still had Kanu, Nugent, Utaka, and yet now, of course, coming back up from League 2 to League 1, and even Bolton coming down from the Premier League into League 1 now, struggling financially, looking doomed for League 2. It's a sad state of affairs up there for Bolton, and we've seen it all happen before, and of course we wish them all the best, but you don't want to see that happen, do you?
No, you don't. It happened with us, like you say, and it looks like it's going to happen to Bolton. They're going to fall to the fourth tier of English football. But let us be a statement. We were in the fourth tier of English football. We're working our way up now. and not all is lost for Bolton. I'm hopefully they'll get their problems sorted out, and I'm sure that, like us, that they can climb the football ladder once again.
Pompey, of course, in that match did field the likes of Aruna Dindan, Hassan Yebta, John Utaka, Ricardo Rocha as well. Bolton had the likes of Gary Cahill, even Klasnich, Jack Wilshere within their squad. John, goes to show how football can change in such a quick period of time. But something that has changed rather quickly for one man in particular, Alex Bass, who now seemingly remains as Pompey's go-to goalkeeper heading into the latter stages of the campaign. John, what have you made of that decision from Kenny Jackett to drop Craig?
I think it's bold, but I understand why he's doing it. Because in the corner of his mind, he knows that there has been Rangers' interest. And the worry would be that if he went and he was our established first starting keeper, then we'll be stuck in the mud there. But now we have two keepers competing for the number one jersey. I think it's going to only do us in good stead.
And Alex Bass is a fantastic goalkeeper as well, Ryan. Certainly, you know, a valuable option to have, you know, in the start of the season on the bench behind Craig McGilvery if we were to call upon him. But thoroughly deserved the opportunity he's been given, and he's taken it with both hands as well.
Well, he's done more than that. He's pushed Alex... silly me. He's pushed Luke McGee out of the fold completely. Obviously, just joined Bradford. And now he's showing he's got what it takes to push Craig McGilvery to his best. And I mean, if he can do that at such a young age, what is he, 22, I think?
21.
21 he is. I mean, that's even better. Yeah. He's showing his potential now on the big stage at Fratton Park, and he's doing a good job. And if he can carry on doing that, there's no reason why you can't actually claim that number one jersey, yeah.
Of course, keeping Craig McGilvery and, of course, Luke McGee out of the team. Luke McGee joined Bradford City on loan last week, John, and it's a move that really makes sense for everyone, doesn't it? He's a great goalkeeper, still young in terms of goalkeeping and how, you know, how far their careers can progress in the game, but a good move for him because he deserves to be playing first team football on a regular basis.
Yeah, he does, certainly. I always thought he was a good shot stopper. Maybe at times wasn't being commanding in this box, but overall it's a good move for both clubs. He's had a good side in Bradford, looking to try and chase down the top three in League 2, and now I think it's just for us now, we've made the money on us. I think have we made money? Was it loan or permanent?
Loan, sorry.
We haven't then, but the wages split, and now we've got room to bring someone else in if we really needed to.
Yeah. Alex Bass, of course, 5 starts in League One for Pompey this season, 2 clean sheets, only 3 goals conceded, and was pivotal on Saturday, Ryan, if you've seen the highlights of the game, made a very important save towards the end of the match. And for a 21-year-old goalkeeper who really has been thrown in the deep end here at Fratton Park, showing how strong and confident he is to, you know, not just come down and make these reaction saves, but come off his line, command his box as well. And he's got such a career ahead of him now, and that starts now.
It does. I mean, that last save where he tipped that ball right around the post, it was incredible. You see those sort of saves in the Championship and in the Premier League. And if he's doing that at 21 years of age, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit.
Of course, he signed his new contract recently, John, till 2023. You know, we mentioned one for the future, but can you see maybe, you know, beyond this season, whether in Championship or League One, can you see him being Pompey's regular number one? Of course, now at the moment, we're not too sure, are we? We're not too sure whether he will remain in that position for the rest of this season. But can you certainly see that if he does, continuing that season upon season and becoming a regular or the first name on the team sheet?
Yeah, I can. Certainly. I think he's a very, very good and able keeper. And at the moment, he's keeping Craig McGilvery on. We know how good a keeper he is. So I think, yeah, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan said the sky's the limit, and I think at the moment it's just whatever, really. What can he do?
Yeah. An email here from Dave Byrne. Steve Seddon's impressive showing at Pompey further emphasises the gap that Pompey will have to bridge when they gain promotion. The fact that Seddon cannot get into an average Championship side means that we will need a squad full of players, or at least the Birmingham loanees' quality, to even establish ourselves in the next level up, says Dave in Cowplain. And yeah, he's right, Ryan, because it is a massive step up between League One and the Championship. You look at the likes of Luton Town, who towards the end of last season absolutely stormed in League One. They're now rock bottom of the Championship. But then you look at Charlton, who are on a massive run of form at the moment and look to be, well, competing for maybe mid-table spot, maybe even a playoff spot. But it's a massive step up now, and if we were to gain promotion, a lot will need to be done to maintain that Championship status next season and the season beyond, and then push forward. Because if we go up you know, with the squad, with the budget and with everything we have in place now, it doesn't perhaps look too comfortable.
Well, I mean, that step up, like you say, is really emphasised by the fact that Steve Seddon is unable to get into the Birmingham team. I mean, his left foot is unbelievable. He is the set-piece specialist that we've been calling out for all season. Christian Burgess, newly on the score sheet, I think, first centre-half to score this season.
Yeah.
And it's taken till January, and that is because of Steve Seddon. No other explanations for that. But like you say about funding, we're not good enough for the Championship as it stands. We will need funding. But if we can pull off players like Steve Seddon in the summer, happy days.
He's been a fantastic addition, hasn't he, John? He's still young. Of course, Birmingham loanee. He's come to Fratton Park. He's got a wand of a left foot, I'll say it every week, but he really has. And his deliveries into the box, helping the likes of Roder Curtis down the left-hand side, even switching over to the right at times as well, playing through the middle. His attacking intent is something we have missed dearly.
We said earlier off-camera, and I think off-radio, he is definitely the second coming of Endon Stevens. Yeah. He just reminds so much of him. Offensively, defensively, he has a brilliant left foot. He attacks well, defends well, passes creates. I think it's what more can you want from a fullback?
Yeah. And of course, set pieces as well have dramatically improved recently, Ryan. The goal on Saturday came via a Steve Seddon free kick from the far right-hand side, left-footed in-swing into the box. Sean Raggett nearly scored the goal until Remy Matthews saved it. Christian Burgess, as you mentioned a few moments ago, pounced on it and blasted it into the back of the net. But you look at the games at Fleetwood, at Walsall, the goals that have been scored recently have come from corners and free kicks, and that's something we didn't see at the start of the season, but since Steve Seddon's come into the squad, it's dramatically changed things.
No, it has. It's given us a new dynamic. I mean, the first half of the season, like you say, we weren't really scoring from set pieces. He's come into the team, and it seems to give us, if we're not scoring from open play, whack Seddon on the corner, and we've got half a chance to score a goal. So, yeah, I think that acquisition, especially with Helmstrup out injured and Brown, it's given us a whole different dynamic. It's good.
Looking at the League One table now then, John, Rotherham, top of the tree, 47 points. They've won six in a row in the league now. They're on a fantastic run of form. Wickham dropped to second, on level on points with Rotherham at the top. Ipswich third, Coventry, Oxford, Sunderland making up the playoff places. Pompey in seventh, only outside of the top six on goal difference, and only 6 points behind the automatic spots with a game in hand. Now, the same does apply for likes of Coventry and Sunderland and Burton, and indeed Doncaster. They've got two games in hand. There's a lot of teams in the mix now, and it is anyone's for the taking. But can you look at this table and think that it would be a massive disappointment for any team, but in particular as a Pompey fan, not to take advantage of the fact that there is no standout team there?
Oh, certainly. Like, from the past few seasons, we've had teams who've come at the forefront and managed to put in a massive run. For his last season, Luton, first half of the season, inconsistent, maybe mid-table, and all of a sudden in January, came along and just smashed it. Smashed us, smashed everyone, and they won the league. And the year before that, you'd Wigan and Blackburn, even Shrewsbury, until they fell apart, were competing at the top end. And now, I think this season, who's front runner? There isn't one. So I think anyone can get the league. Whoever puts a run together now and doing it in the season will get promoted.
Yeah.
Simple as.
Looking at the amount of games teams have lost in that top six, or top ten rather, Coventry City have only lost 3 games all season. They are currently fourth. They've won 11 and drawn 11. So a team who are hard to beat, and of course Pompey do go there next month, or rather to St Andrews next month to face Coventry. A team who won't be easy to beat, but we've got now a run of away games. We've come off the back of 2 or 3 away victories in a row, Ryan, but we've now got the likes of Coventry, Lincoln next week, Tranmere as well. They're not going to be an easy side to beat on a fairly dodgy pitch, I think that's fair to say. We've now got to kind of keep that momentum and push forward and really apply ourselves now into that top six and hopefully try and burst into that top two.
Well, there's no doubt that playoffs are definitely a goal. Definitely the top two. I'm not ruling them out whatsoever, but away form has to change, and it looks like it is. I mean, three away wins on the bounce. We just need to replicate our home form away, and there is no reason why we cannot reach the top two places with good away form. That's all we need. That is the key, because home form right now, we're a juggernaut in this league at home. So away form is key,
Email here from Graham Wilkins says, "Hi all, wouldn't it be great if the Blues did a 2017 and go up as champions on the very last day at Burton? I know it's a long way off, but the way we are starting to claw our way back points wise, being that we're only 6 points off the top, who's to say it won't happen again? It's just the way that the Blues are going at the moment, slowly getting better as the season progresses. Also, being in the other two cup competitions can only bode well as it keeps the whole squad involved, which is a must as every player can get game time. It'd be good to see Watmore start tomorrow evening and see how things progress, plus give the likes of Evans and Pittman a run out," says Graham Wilkins on the email. It'd be fantastic to do a 2017, wouldn't it, John? Kind of come up out of nowhere, win the league title on the final day. But not only that, I was discussing on my way back from Bolton on Saturday, Pompey's second-to-last game of the season would have been at home to Bury. Mm-hmm. So a very important kind of time of the footballing calendar is that last five games of the season where teams start to get promoted, mm-hmm. relegated, all these permutations. Second to last game of the season, Pompey aren't playing. We're going to be sat back in our living rooms, in the pubs, watching it all unfold. Pompey could be promoted without having to kick a ball. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's likely. It's possible. It's possible for any team.
That would be the dream. I think that league season, top winning season, that was undoubtedly one of the best times as a Pompey fan. We just got out of the league to be finally off all those years in the abyss, and now to replicate then, there will be some feat, but it can be done. Obviously, it's going to be much harder given the quality of teams around us and how tight it is. Within 3 weeks, anyone could be top.
Yeah,
that's the way it is, but I'd like to think we will get playoffs, and I said at the start of the season, I stand by it, we'll finish second. Yeah. I think it's there for us, it really is.
Do you think it's possible to go up as champions, Ryan? I know, you know, dare we say it, on the 20th of January, but there's a long way to go. 25 games played, just under 20 games to go now, 19 to be exact, but it's happened before. Stranger things have happened. You know, we were 12 points behind Doncaster with four games remaining that year. We literally had to win all four games and hope Doncaster lost all four games and hope Plymouth lost, I think, three out of the four. We were so far behind, but it happened, and that's the way Pompey do it. They do it difficult. They do it the hardest way possible, but they do it. They can do it. They show the fighting spirit of the city, and they can get over the line when it matters.
I mean, football's such an unpredictable sport, and being a Pompey fan makes it 10 times more unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. So the way we are, the form that we've put together, especially away now, three wins on the bounce away, there is no reason. I'm not saying we're going to win the league, but I'm now saying there is no reason why we could write that off, especially given how close it is at the top.
Stephen Jerome says, "Hi lads, it was a great result on Saturday against Bolton, but we had to work hard for it, didn't we? To be fair, they piled some pressure on us in the second half and gave it a good go, and we really had to dig deep to get the win. Bolton team we played against on Saturday are not the same team we saw at the start of the season. With all of their recent struggles off the field and having to start the season with docked points, I think they've done well to pull their points total back. They're on 7 points now, which is an achievement considering how they started the season on minus 12. Unfortunately, they are probably destined for League 2, which is a shame really, because a team like Bolton, who are once in the Premier League, should not be in that division. Hopefully they can bounce back up quickly, but we spent 4 years in League 2, so we know how hard it can be." Stephen Fratton, and he mentions there how really Bolton are a changed side since August, September time, where they were fielding their, you know, their youth team in games as well. But we played them at Fratton Park, 1-1-0, and that was at a time where they were transitioning. They were getting these players in, they were starting to pick up a few points. But their home record this season is pretty good, actually, for a side who are bottom of the table. And it was good credit to Pompey to actually get over the line and get that win, because not many teams can go to their place and get the result, because they set up there, they set up defensively, they set up with that never say die attitude, nothing to lose, and they stick by it really well. So I think you've got to give credit to Pompey a lot more than perhaps you would look at kind of a league table, because that's a fantastic win.
Oh, it's a brilliant win. Any win's a win at the end, and you take them any way they come. And as you say earlier, then Bolton's home form, you beat me to it, their home form at the moment has been very, very good for sight in the relegation zone, let alone in the bottom half. Been very, very good. That's where they're getting their points.
Yeah.
And the fact they could still feasibly stay up, they could stay up. It's not out of question at the moment, but the fact we managed to go there, get to side, we're in the bottom, scramble for their lives to get points, and we managed to scare clean sheet as well, I think you've got to take it.
Yeah. Their home form this season before Saturday's, of course, defeat at home to Pompey, was stood at 12 games, 3 wins, 6 draws and only 3 defeats. So
it's not bad.
It's not bad, is it, for a team who, like you say, are only on 7 points for campaign. OK, it is time now for our final break of the show. Don't forget, we want to hear the thoughts of you back home and, of course, your score predictions for tomorrow night's game at home to Scunthorpe United in the EFL Trophy. 81400 is the number to text. Start those with the word Express. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm is our handle on there. So join us again in a few moments' time. We'll be going through the conclusion of this Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the final part of this evening's Football Hour on 93.7 Express FM. This season, the show is brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South, who operate a fast, friendly and reliable service across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. Download the app today on either the Apple app or Google Play stores to plan your next journey. We turn our attention now to Pompey's next game. The Blues are in EFL Trophy action tomorrow night, and it's the quarterfinals of the tournament. We are only 180 minutes away from Wembley. But standing in the way of another semi-final appearance, it's Scunthorpe United.
Following 4 back-to-back victories for the Blues, the time has now come to reapply themselves in the EFL Trophy. The defence of the title goes on for Pompey and their opponents for the quarter-final tie at Scunthorpe United.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett's side are on a seriously hot run of form in this competition. Since his appointment, the gaffer has overseen 16 wins and only 2 defeats. The last of those defeats, a 2-1 loss at home to Chelsea under-21s in January 2018. The Blues have won 13 in a row since then and, of course, picked up the trophy at Wembley last March. However, this week, League Two opponents Scunthorpe will be hoping to stop Pompey dead in their tracks.
Manager.
Once promising manager Paul Hurst is currently in charge of the team nicknamed the Iron. The 45-year-old started his managerial career alongside Rob Scott in 2009. The pair worked together to lead both Ilkeston Town and Boston United to promotion to the Conference North one season after another. Their efforts weren't rewarded with a move to Grimsby Town, but halfway through the tenure, Scott was suspended due to reasons never announced by the club. Hurst went on solo and eventually led the Mariners to promotion back into the Football League. Shrewsbury Town was his next destination, where he guided the side away from the relegation zone and in his second season led the Shrews to a third place finish in League One and 2 appearances at Wembley, losing both the playoff and EFL Trophy finals. Before linking up with Scunthorpe, Hurst had an unsuccessful spell at Ipswich Town.
One to watch.
Look out for Sudanese winger Abo Aiza during this game. The 24-year-old wears the number 30 shirt for Scunny and has netted 6 goals in his last 9 games. Aiza was signed by Paul Hurst during his time at Shrewsbury and was an unused sub for their defeat in the finals of this competition in 2018.
Top scorer.
Dutch forward and fans' favourite Kevin van Veen is the side's leading scorer in both League 2 and the EFL Trophy. The 28-year-old number 10 has bagged 5 trophy goals and 8 League 2 strikes for the Iron this season. Van Veen has been out of the squad for the last 2 league matches against Newport County and Bradford City, last featuring in a 3-1 round of 16 win over the Manchester City under-21s, in which he scored a first-half brace.
Current form.
Scunthorpe have had a torrid time since dropping down into the Football League's basement division. Their season started off extremely poorly for a side just relegated down, but has since picked up, although results are rather inconsistent. The Irons sit in 14th in League 2, 10 points clear of the relegation, but 12 points behind playoff positions. Mid-table obscurity is looking increasingly likely. The EFL Trophy campaign has seen them win 4 and lose 1, a group stage defeat to Leicester City under-21s, the only academy side to remain in the competition at the moment, summoned them to finish second in their group. On the final match of the group, Scunny defeated last season's runner-up Sunderland 3-0 to send them crashing out of the tournament at the first hurdle. Can Kenny Jackett make it 14 wins in a row this competition and lead Pompey to the semi-finals once again? Find out and catch all the unmissable action tomorrow from 7.
A closer look at this week's EFL Trophy opponents, Scunthorpe United. It's a return to the Leasing.com Trophy tomorrow night. John, quarter-finals, 2 wins away from Wembley again, our second home. We say it many times. We'd love to go back.
Yeah.
But do you kind of feel that the carrot of Wembley this season is not as strong as it was last time?
No, not at all. Going to Wembley is always something you want to do as a fan, seeing a team play. I think, in all fairness, it could do us good stead. Because if, let's say, for instance, we do we don't get top two, but we do get playoffs. And then if we manage to beat whoever we face, you go Wembley, you think, okay, we've won it twice in the last 2 years. They'll do us good stead.
And Pompey would be the first team to ever retain the trophy in any of its formats, Brian, if they were to win it this season. And yeah, it may only be the EFL trophy, but it's another bit of history, if you can count it. It's another stat to use in the pub quizzes. And again, you'd take winning a trophy over not winning a trophy. You know, I think at the start of the season, Pompey fans were of the mindset of, if we get knocked out in the group stages, it doesn't matter. We've won it, we've had our day out. But do you kind of feel now at the quarterfinal stage, two wins away from Wembley again, you just want to win it now? You want to do it again?
No, you do. No,
Wembley is just right. You can sniff it.
It may just be the EFL trophy, but at the end of the day, it's still a trophy. And the feeling that we felt at Wembley last season against Sunderland, nothing beat it. When we thought Jamal Lowe just won us the game, and then it was such a rollercoaster of a game. But I think you've got to give credit to Kenny Jackett, the way that he set up his squad. Our second side in this competition is better than most League Two first teams. And that has put us in great stead in this competition especially, and I think he deserves pretty good credit for that.
And full credit as well for a fantastic stat as well in the EFL trophy at Pompey. Kenny Jackett, 16 wins in the tournament.
There you go.
2 defeats. And both of those defeats, one was on penalties, and one was after extra time.
Says it all.
So no defeats in 90 minutes for Kenny Jackett.
That is outstanding.
At Pompey in the EFL trophy. Currently on a 13-game winning streak.
Long may it continue.
The last time we were defeated in this competition, touching all the wood around me at the moment, 2 years ago.
To who?
Chelsea under 21s. Round of 16 at Fratton Park. 2-1 after extra time. The last time Pompey were defeated, 8th of January 2018. So the record in this competition, John, is just fantastic for Pompey and Kenny Jackett over the last couple of seasons. But you know, the manager's received criticism in recent years about how he takes the competition perhaps too seriously, and maybe it's a bit of a distraction to the league. Can you kind of vouch for that a little bit? Because from where I sit, looking at the team lineups, looking at the amount of changes that are made to the squad, and certainly the earlier rounds of the tournament, you're looking at fringe players mixed with youth players, maybe the odd one or two kind of starters within the lineups of these group stage games into the round of 32. And okay, the quarterfinals, semi-finals is when you see the first team is really present within the squad. But is it a fair comment to say that Kenny takes it too seriously?
No, no. You can look at it both ways. Yes, he does start a few first team players, but also he gives that fringe players a chance. For instance, Jack Waterman now, he's going to get his first start for us in over a year now.
Yeah,
in tomorrow, you'd think he would, and that's brilliant. He's such a good player, Waterman. I love seeing him back. And no, well. As going on the fact that maybe he does take quite seriously, yes, he does like competition, but winning breeds confidence. Don't care what competition is. If we keep winning, that will do us good for the league, for both cups, and just going forward, it's always good to have any competition to go into.
And what's wrong with wanting to win games? Nothing's wrong with that, is
there? Nothing wrong with that.
You go out to win a game no matter what competition it is, and that's the mindset that Kenny Jackett has. He doesn't like to draw games. He doesn't like to go out to set up and okay, if we lose, we lose. No, we want to win every single game we possibly can.
I mean, the only thing you could say is the accumulation of how many games we play in the season. I think we played the most last season across the top four tiers of English football. And could it have had an effect in the playoffs?
Maybe.
Who's to know? But like you guys are saying, a win is a win at the end of the day, and as long as we're winning, it's only a good thing.
And like you say, like Ryan mentions there, last season Pompey played the most games out of any team across the top four divisions in England, but still accumulated, 88 points in League One? Only just missed out on promotion to the Championship automatically, and of course, heartbreaking, the playoffs. But also, Kenny does hold currently the best percentage of wins as a Pompey manager post-war. Which again is an incredible stat.
Cool. It's brilliant.
It's just, you can't knock it, and he takes every game seriously. But looking at the EFL trophy, looking at the teams left, John, Pompey hosts Scunthorpe at home tomorrow night. There's only one other League One team remaining in the competition, Accrington Stanley, who
are they?
Yeah, No disrespect, but not the strongest of teams in the league. There's no Sunderland, there's no Ipswich, no Lincoln, who have previously won it, no Shrewsbury, who got to the final 2018. There's no real big team left in it. You've got Leicester under 21s, the only academy side left in it. Other than that, Exeter, Stevenage, Salford and Newport all in League 2.
Okay.
And looking at those teams that are left, John,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, I'd say Exeter are probably the biggest threat.
Yeah, totally agree there. Exeter for the last few seasons always just missed out on promotion. Well, under Paul Isdale, they had the season where they were in the playoff final and it went up and they lost it. I mean, that's horrible to take. I think now this is their year to get out of League 2. And I'd like to think that we would draw Exeter at Wembley. It'd be really nice to see, because they're a good club. They're a well-supported club like us. And overall, like, you can never not turn down going to Wembley. Regardless who you play, and even if it's Leicester on 21, I'd still turn out.
Yeah. And that would be really the big occasion, wouldn't it? Pompey versus Exeter at Wembley. Because mm-hmm. Exeter do, you know, give full credit to them. They've got a fantastic fan base. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing from their point of view, but what Pompey would hope to capitalise on if that were the case, is that they can't win at Wembley. John mentions there, they've got to how many playoff finals in the past five, 6 years or so?
Must at least
two or three. And they just can't seem to win there.
Mm.
So hopefully Pompey will take advantage of that if that were to be the case.
It's got to happen first. We've got to get there first, lads. Come on.
So, of course, standing in the way of Pompey and, of course, the final at Wembley. Two wins away. Scunthorpe first at Fratton Park tomorrow. Then either one of Exeter, Stevenage, Salford, Accrington, Stanley, Newport or Leicester under-21s in the semis. Some really torrid away ties there. Don't fancy any of those. Rather a home tie myself. Let's get to some of your text tweets and emails then before we do love you and leave you. Mark Luter, nice to hear Kenny Jackett songs on Saturday for the first time in a while. Fans finally coming together at the right time too. Gav Jones says it will never happen, but I'd love to see 4-4-2 tomorrow just for a change. McGilvery, God. Bolton, Burgess, Watmore, Helmstrup, Williams, Cannon, McGeehan, Curtis, Pittman and Marquis. I'd love to see Pittman and Marquis as a partnership, as both players need a partner. What are you thinking going into to tomorrow night's game then, Ryan? What kind of side are you looking for Kenny to line up? Are you hoping to see a similar lineup to that? See a couple of names who perhaps haven't played in recent games in particular, but Hamstrup and Pittman as well, and even Andy Cannon is in and out of the squad. Would you like to see a couple of those names been given a chance, or would you dare to go with the same team as Saturday?
I think I'd make three or four changes. I wouldn't go gung-ho with the changes and bring everyone in that hasn't been playing. But I think we've got to get into the quarterfinals. I think we've got to give this competition the respect it deserves, get into this stage. And I think Kenny will do that. He'll go out to win. He'll set out to win. He'll pick a team that he thinks strong enough to win the game. And that's the most important thing. I think I can't see both Marquis and Harrison, or even, well, Pittman I can, but I can't see Harrison and Marquis starting together. But it'd be a strong side, I'm sure.
Can you picture, John, that maybe Craig McGilvery will be starting tomorrow's game following the inclusion of Alex Bass in the league squad recently?
Yeah, I can. I think at the moment Kenny's doing it game by game, so each game he'll swap each keeper around. It's always good. It's always good to have two solid keepers rotating out each game. It gives both each keeper confidence and the ability to know they have to compete with each other for the number one jersey.
Scunthorpe are a hard team to read, Ryan. They're away form in League 2 this season. 14 games, only 4 wins, 7 defeats at home, 4 wins, 5 defeats in 14 games. Well, 14th in League 2, having been relegated last season from League 1, 12 points off the playoffs, 10 points ahead of relegation, really are mid-table. Yeah. They are the typical mid-table League 2 side. But you know, look at their recent results. They've not won in 3 games. They drew recently away to Bradford City, who are up there. They're in the mix. But then they've lost to the likes of Plymouth, Crewe as well, Walsall as well, and then picking up wins against Forest Green Rovers and Grimsby above them. So they are really that team who like to steal their points from the rich and give them back to the poor. Yeah. So tomorrow could be a real test for Pompey, because we just don't know what team's going to turn up.
Well, I mean, like you said, they're a mid-table side at the end of the day. They're not really challenging for a promotion, and then they shouldn't be really worrying about going down. So I think tomorrow night will be a win-win for them.
Yeah.
If they win, they'll probably be on TV in a semi-final, and they'll be one win away from Wembley. And if they lose, they go back to their League Two season. But for me, they've got nothing to lose. So. Yeah.
Could be an interesting game tomorrow. Some score predictions coming into us now. Andrew John's going for a 3-1 loss. Alan Snelling says 2-0 Pompey. Michael Frank is going for a 1-0 win for the Blues. And Matt Cobb says 2-0 to Pompey. Jack Watmore to get on the score sheet as well. Thank you to everyone getting involved. Those are predictions of the fans back home, gents. But how are you both feeling going into the game? I'm going to have to press you both for a score prediction now. Starting with you, please, John.
3-0.
3-0?
With Pittman's score.
3-0 Pittman. Ryan?
Pretty similar. 2-0. 2-0 Pompey. Marquis.
3-0 Pompey. Brett Pittman, goal scorer. 2-0 Pompey. John Marquis, goal scorer.
A brace.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, okay. Make it interesting now. Lads, thank you very much. Oh, difficult one. None of you predicted any conceded goals. I'm gonna throw my hat out there. I'm going to say 2-1 win for Pompey. I think we're going to get into the semi-finals. And just for fun, I think we're going to get Newport away. Just to be different. And I'm afraid that's all we've got time for on this evening's show, but we've got plenty for you to look forward to over the next 24 hours here on Express FM. Jeff and Adrian are back with a bumper edition of the Soft Rock Show tonight between 8 and 10pm. They'll be joined on the phone by Angelo Tristan, and we'll be presenting a live performance from Ollie Olsen. Mason Jordan wakes you up bright and early tomorrow morning from 6am for Portsmouth Breakfast, who have all the usual great songs, travel, sports and weather updates, as well as the Express Rewind all the way through until 10 o'clock. Darren Gavlin then takes over till midday with more of the latest and greatest music, and of course Robbie James oversees your afternoon from 3 o'clock. Once again, a huge thanks to John Hooper and Ryan Honey for helping me to get through this one. Thanks to you all back home for tuning in and getting involved on my socials, and not forgetting our sponsors, Stagecoach Across Myself, for supporting this season's Football Hour. Pompey Live returns tomorrow evening from 7 o'clock. Myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell will be live from Fratton Park with full coverage of the Blues EFL Trophy quarter-final clash with Scunthorpe United. Can Pompey make it 14 consecutive wins in the competition and reach the semis for a second season running? Tune in this time tomorrow to find out. Up next is the Express 60s, nothing but great songs from the decade of the 1960s. But for now, I've been Jake Smith, and thanks for listening to the Monday Football Hour.